Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the long conversation I had with John Gentry, and we will have him back on. What I need to do is, so a lot of people don't understand some of the stuff on the background of what, in the background is what I meant to say, regarding, you know, recording and having a good quality recording. So most people just think, well, you know, if you just do live, then you can, you know, because I could just do live, but the sound quality would not be there. And if we had people call up, it would just be hit and miss regarding somebody being quieter and softer and so forth. And so yours truly does all of the editing engineering. So what ends up happening is when I do make these telephone interviews, what I try to do, and just so you know, if you call and we are going to have, because I need to get with Charles, and forgive me, Charles, it's not that I haven't seen your email, it's just that I've just been too busy to get back to you. And so we will get you on to have this conversation, because it's not like it's not going anywhere, but if we get back together, or when I can connect with you, the listener, because you have an issue or you would like to dive into an issue, into some details, then what I would ask is please have a Skype account. Now, why Skype? Well, so Skype is kind of old school, old technology, but some of the stuff embedded in Skype, like dynamic volume control, is very nice, because then I don't have to worry about your dynamic peaks. And for the most part, if you move around from the microphone and you get close, you get far away, you know, because you're sitting closer to the microphone, you're further away from the microphone, the volume changes dynamically with Skype to, you know, keep everything as normalized as possible. Now, if you don't have Skype and you're using Zoom, or you're using, I haven't played, I think with Free Conference Call, they use some sound dynamics as well. So we're setting up a free conference call so that people can start getting involved or listening to Free Conference Call. When we have state legislatures on the line, or legislators, I should say, on the line and so forth. But what I'm trying to say here, because I don't want to, you know, drag a dead horse, is that there's a lot of editing if there's a bunch of dynamic peaks, because bottom line, I can't get the amplitude or the sound of the show, you know, out there. And now we've tried using some different software, some hardware and so forth, and at this point in time we still haven't got the magic, you know, decoder ring to get to that perfect output or the perfect capturing of sound. So anyway, please be, you know, patient. It takes me time. And as a matter of fact, in this last interview I mentioned to John, for that hour plus, it took me almost 12 hours, a little over 12 hours, I think, in editing, just getting the dynamic peak so that I could have a decent output so that everybody could hear it as best as possible. One of the things I will tell you as well for everybody, if you do use Zoom and you use video, if you do not use video, turn it off, because Zoom will actually try to allocate enough resources to actually provide the video, and what ends up happening is you'll actually lose audio in that compromise. And so that's why you probably heard some dropouts when John was talking. And so anyway, you shouldn't heard any dropouts, because I was recording it on my end. So had he heard any dropouts from me, then I didn't know about it. But it's not uncommon, because video is a much more, it's a larger data stream that goes across the wire instead of your voice. So anyway, if you want to call in, our comment line is 425-270-5416. You got a question, you want to dive into the details, and I'm telling you, we're starting in the real, this is the juiciest of juicy meats that we're diving into. If you're a carnivore, if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, this is probably, you know, the sweetest. I don't know. It's all subjective. This is probably what you're really looking for, though, as far as content, because we've gotten through the ratification debate. So we've been able to provide you with the clarity on how the Constitution was defined to the states. So now the states know exactly what each of these lines mean. Here's the problem. They may have all accepted and moved forward in these ratification debates, but did they make copies so that every legislature that went into session, you know, when they created, and I mean state legislature, when they created this new federal government, did they have the operation manual? Did they have these terms and definitions? No, they marginalized all of this. They basically tried to commit everything to memory. They committed everything to each other's, you know, recall. Well, this is what it kind of, and after a while, they actually started allowing C lawyers to start dictating what this line meant and this line meant. Like John Marshall, when he was sitting in the Supreme Court seat as the Chief Justice, he started actually making it up as he went along. The only way you're going to actually stay as close to the terms and definitions provided by those federalists, by those who actually defined the Constitution for the states that they accepted. Now, keep in mind, they all accepted how they defined this. Well, what good is that? What good is the acceptance if you don't keep a good, close hold onto how these things were defined? What this line meant, what this line meant, and how these things were applied, like martial law. How in the heck are we supposed to deal with martial law coming down the pike if you don't know how they defined it? And actually, they did define it. This is why I cannot emphasize enough. I'm blue in the face. I'm trying to get more and more people to understand we have to codify the Constitution. In so doing, we basically, I don't know what you call it at a rodeo, when you rope the calf or you rope the horse or you rope the bull or what have you, and you basically turn them upside down and you tie their feet so they can't go nowhere. You basically tie them up. And this is how the judges, this is how our government officials are to actually act and how they are to perform their jobs and duties as defined in these debates. The only way these things can be changed and how and what they mean is by making an amendment to the Constitution. You've got to realize that when you're actually arguing over the meaning of something within a compact while you're formally ratifying it, and you actually provide clarity to it, that is a legal amendment to that document. And so, and I'm telling you, having gone through federal audits and working on federal programs, the federal government holds you to however you define that, even if it's back channel email between employees to say, you know, this is what this is going to mean, and we're going to have to do this and this and this. And or if they say, well, you know what, we think this is what it means, but we're not really going to do this. This is what we're going to do in trying to short sell the contract. And I tell you what, the federal government is ruthless in holding you fully accountable to that compact. You know what? It's about time the states became even more ruthless in defending this compact called the Constitution. This is why this is so important. If you are beginning to garner the beauty of the fact that this Constitution is a compact, that it was so well defined, and that the states are the ones, are the enforcers, and they have the ability, this is why the 2022 election is so important. This is why we need to start building bands. We need to start creating small teams and groups that are going in and working with the Constitution Party, the Republican Party, all the different grassroots organizations. You got to spread yourself so thin and getting more people to actually do this so that you don't have to spread yourself so thin. It, you know, you don't have to. And as a matter of fact, we need to start having trust and faith in each other. We have to start basically leaving it to people to say, you know, you need to do this. You need to do this. And so if they do these things, then we will get there. You know, as I've said many times in the Marine Corps and ever since, you know, it seems like we're all on that highway to hell because it's paved with good intentions and there's no exit, because it seems like we just keep going and going and we just can't get off this highway of good intentions. Well, we have to actually get to where we're going. We have to get to that point, that termination point of saying this task is done. You know, you may get on this task of going off to do something, but until you get that done, you can't move on to the next task. So let's get to our destination points on all of these highways. Let's quit just driving down the highway of good intentions. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. No, do it. Get there. You should be there by now. We should be getting things done. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to be reading the resolutions after we understand, now that we've got the ratification, we've kind of built the history up to this point. Now, there have been a couple of states that have been added to the Union, right? Tennessee, I think, and Kentucky have been added to the Union. Maybe Ohio. I don't know. I'd have to pull it up. But here's the fact. What we're going to dive into, what we're going to be giving you, is really what I would consider just, you know, this is the formula for Republic Review. So we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. This is going to take some time. But by all means, if you've got any questions or calls, 425-270-5416. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
We also have some obligatories that I have failed to hit already. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence of what we... As a matter of fact, this is legal evidence, my friends, because if you understand fundamental tenets of contract law, it's either in the contract or it's not in the contract, or it has been defined as a part of the process and or explained or further clarified, elucidated while the contract is being accepted, and those things are legally binding. If you've got evidence that that's what was stipulated, that's what was stated. And guess what, friends? Somebody was watching out for us because they actually took record and they actually wrote this stuff down. You can't tell me that the divine hand of providence was not involved in this process. This is why I give people a hard time for using the word codified, because 9 times out of 10, they think what that means is it's, you know, embedded or it's galvanized or it's, you know, encrusted into or instilled in this document. And no, a codified is actually like an enumeration or a listing or a collection of, you know, something of a process, a systematic process. And so if you look at the codified process, the systematic process of changing the Constitution, that would be in Article 5. So that systematic process, instead of saying systematic, the codified process, there you go. And so if you kind of look at how people, they tend to read that it is codified. Well, anyway, so what we're doing is we're actually going through the first time the federal government violated the Constitution. We're jumping into what Madison and Jefferson did. Now, Jefferson understood law, and he understood this concept of nullification. And so we can't get into Republic Review and the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions without going through nullification, interposition, and Republic Review, just so you understand how these things dovetail and how these things work. However, before we can even get into these documents, I need to go back to the interview or the conversation I had with John Gentry. So I, as I promised you, I needed to get into what we really have to do and why we're going to start having these conversations. I need to get Paul Venable on the line. I need to get his time so that he can actually start, you know, talking about things that they need to do and things that they're publishing and things that they're pushing within the Constitution Party out of Missouri State, out of the state of Missouri, Missouri State. No, it's not a university. Anyway, what we need to do is we need to start having these leadership conversations. I don't want just Paul Venable. I would like to have all sorts of leaders, whether that be Jeanine Hansen or even the national chair, which James Clymer, I believe is how you pronounce the name, or other people in working at the grassroots level from the NLA, from regional or state coordinators and so forth, so that we can start having this conversation of this is what has to be done, and this is how we have to do this. We need to get people in these meetings at the Central Committee. Folks, you need to start going if you haven't already, and I know many of you have. Many of you have, and I thank you. I appreciate the fact that you're out there doing it. You need to make sure you attend these Central Committee meetings so that people understand the importance of what, and they understand what needs to be done. This is so important because if you look at the primary coming up in 2022, we're just 8 months away, I think, from the first primary, right? Isn't it February or January in Iowa? They do primaries early in some of these, you know, cold, hard winter states. And so we can't wait till the summertime next year to think, oh, well, that's how much time we have. We don't. We don't have a lot of time to start creating these real good strategies and getting the messaging out. I have a lot of legislators that tell me, oh, yeah, we need your help. We want to do this. And I'm knocking on their door, you know, pounding and trying to get in. And, you know, I can't even get a phone call with them. In some of these states, I'm going, you know what? I think their heart's in the right place. I'm going, come on. If you really care, you know what? If you don't care, then when I come back around, then I will let people know, well, that person doesn't care. You know, like what is his name? Chad, is it Chad Christensen? Yeah, I think it's Chad Christensen out of Idaho. I mean, he signed a pledge that he was going to do all of these things. And then as soon as he got into office, it was like he took a shower, washed him off. Didn't want to have anything to do with the Constitution anymore. Oh, excuse me. The Second Amendment. He's a Second Amendment guy. He stands up on the Second Amendment. Oh, yeah, he's right there in front leading the charge and protecting the Second Amendment. While the rest of the Constitution, your children are being exposed to all sorts of terrible things throughout the United States, that an invasion is going on, and this man can't stand up and do his job and saying this is an invasion that needs to be stopped. There needs to... Anybody anywhere in the United States has if you're a public servant, you have a responsibility to support the Constitution. And I don't give a rat's behind if you're up in Idaho and you think what's going on that southern border doesn't have anything to do with you. You took an oath to support that Constitution, and you should be calling on everybody in that state house to send a resolution to Congress to do their cotton picking job in shutting down that border so that this invasion stops in a accordance with the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, and they follow what they're supposed to do in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15 by deploying the militia to stop this invasion. This is not an immigration process. This is an invasion. And they didn't amend the Constitution to change it any other way. And so with Chad Christensen and all these other pseudo-conservatives, I mean, give me one state. Give me one state that has took a stand on this invasion. Give me one state that's calling out and reprimanding Congress for failing to do their job and demanding, they should even take it further, they should demand that all of Congress be replaced. They've disqualified themselves so badly, so blatantly, that they don't deserve to be public servants. This is the problem, and I know John Gentry's with me on this. Everybody, they're all so bad. This is why I have this forgiveness policy that, you know, if these people really didn't understand, give them a first and final. And then if they don't wake up, then they're gone. Now, I'm going to have to edit that out. Anyway, I try not to have loud pops like that because it creates a dynamic peak that's not too good. Anyway, where were we? So, in this conversation, we need to start talking about education. And there are different types of ways to educate. I believe that there, you know, when I deal with most people look at educating as educating the people. I'm sorry, you'll never educate the people. As noble, as ambitious as that is, it's folly, because you can't even get half the people to, you know, to go back to school. You can't even get one-fourth of the people to really read anything of consequence. You can't get one-fifth of the people, 20% of the people in America, to actually, you know, understand, just pick up the Constitution and read it. Sorry. So what do you do? Well, so I get it that there are people that want that change, and you can educate those people that are willing to take that effort, but that's less than 1% if you really think about it, because how many people are actually getting engaged? Now, I do not count people that go to Hillsdale College. You may have gone to Hillsdale College, and you may have, if you have gone to Hillsdale College, then your education on the Constitution is marginal at best, marginal. I mean, you may understand some of those words, but you do not understand how they've been defined. Only my listeners and only those who have read the ratification debates understand in context what those words mean, because Hillsdale College does not give you the ratification definitions and terms to that compact. So what we have to do, and what I believe the way to do this, and I haven't shared this with John Gentry, but we will, is I believe that the only way we're going to start reaching people is by training the trainer. The politicians, those people that are going into the primaries, when they stand up in front of these town hall meetings, they need to be able to provide little bite-sized bullets of teaching people what the Constitution is. And what we need to do is say, if you really want to learn more, we've got a YouTube channel. It's called Reclaiming the Republic. Go there and you can start learning about the Constitution. This is something I need help with from the Constitution Party. I need help with other people to actually sit down and go through these things so that we can get all of this training done. I've got the shell done. I mean, I'm working on the scripts, but I can't do everything, folks. I need your help. And so if you're doing this and you want to help, then by all means, let me know. If you're going to get involved in your state and you're going to be a Thomas we need a flock of Thomas Jeffersons, James Madisons, Roger Shermans, Benjamin Rushes, James Wilsons, James Iredell, all of these people. We need a lot of people that understand or are willing to understand the Constitution and start acting upon the knowledge that they receive. But what we have to do is we have to start educating the trainers. So those who are in office that I've reached out to, we want to get those people actually to understand the Constitution. So when they go out and have town hall meetings, they are educating their electorate. So their electorate completely understands what they're doing, why they're doing it, and why they have to vote for them and the people that they are on the slate with. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. If you really understand what has to happen, it's about a campaign of information. It's a campaign of both educating people on the Constitution, educating people that there's actually a network, like a Constitution Society, that is formed within your state. So that anybody that wants to know who is associated with this constitutional network, then they go to the NLA. The NLA should be able to provide, you know, the different militia organizations or the people and what they're doing. We want to have, in each county, we want to have a coordinator operating and managing the petitions for that county and driving that county towards a common law grand jury. But we also need a coordinator for who is the candidates that are supporting the Constitution fully. And when I say fully, demanding compliance and expecting that anybody that's a public servant, such as themselves, will fully support the Constitution, calling for full compliance and demanding that anybody that gets in their way that is a public servant or refusing to support the Constitution get removed. We need people that are going to clean the clock and going to actually take people to task and hold them accountable. We need to get people now to start getting ready to become a candidate to replace your state legislator. I don't care if your state legislator is a Republican, that is a conservative, is a Second Amendment champion. That person is failing to do what they're supposed to do, because they're supposed to support the Constitution, not the Second Amendment. Not this religious freedom or vaccination freedom or whatever cherry-picked myopic issue out there that they've clung to. We need a full-fledged supporter of the entire Constitution. Not one word, not one meaning left out. And so what we need to do is then we have these candidates, and hopefully many of them, we convert who are already in office. It says, me, I want to be this. I knew I needed to do something, and now I'm here, and this is what I want to do. And so we convert these people in office. We get other people to start challenging the rhinos and those people who do not care about the compliance of the Constitution. We got to get rid of them. So this is what we do during the campaigning, getting out there, having these town hall meetings. The message is going to be fresh. It is going to be new. And we need people to understand that this is the only opportunity we have to saving this Constitution, that we need to make now the time, and we need everybody to get involved, and we need their help. Enlist people that are in those town hall meetings to help you. Most of them are there because they care. If they're taking time out to attend a central committee meeting, if they're taking time out in the county, if they're taking time out to attend a National Liberty Alliance meeting, if people are taking time out to getting involved in some way, that means that they care, they're there. Enlist them, compel them, use a gun. No, I'm just kidding. What we need to do is we need to convince them that they need to commit as much as they possibly can. Obviously, you can't get people to give you everything. It is antithetical to think somebody is going to sacrifice their life for you to get their vote. But it is reasonable to think that they would help you by letting the word out, helping you put on the next town hall meeting in a different community, at your house, or what have you, and actually getting videos. This is where you start getting a video. You record this one message, and then you actually send it out so that people can watch that message. And then you create these other messages and get people to start learning, one, about the Constitution, why you're doing this, how this is going to get done, why this has to be done, all of the details. We want people to understand as much as they're willing to take in, right? People will get up and walk away from the book. And when I say the book, I mean the Bible or whatever it is they're studying. They get up. Does that mean that that person's a sinner? No. It may mean that they have to have dinner. It may mean that they have to go to work. It may mean, so it doesn't mean that they've burned the book, they've gotten rid of the book, right? So what this means is that they've saturated themselves, or there's something else that is another priority. So this is why we need to start helping people understand how important, how integral they are, and actually getting them to say, hey, is there a county position you can run for? Like the county commissioner. Like the sheriff. I don't care if the sheriff, I don't believe the sheriff the sheriff should not necessarily require any kind of qualifications. But I wouldn't be surprised that the state legislatures have created some level, you got to have a degree in law or something stupid. But anyway, and I say stupid because the state legislators, these are the guys that create laws and requirements for all forms of employment except their own. I mean, you could be the most slack jaw, irresponsible person in the world, and you can be a state legislator because there are no qualifications. That's got to change too. And we need to start insisting. We need to demand that our every politician has ongoing, what do they call that, continuing education? If you're like in a professional series or a certified type of technician or professional in a career, then you have to have continued education. You have to get recertified. You know, hey, it's not that the Constitution changes, but you need to have at least a certain level of certification with continuing education, period. Because, I mean, come on. Everybody else has to do it to earn money. Anyway, so what we want is we want these candidates. I believe that the most effective way of teaching people, because people will show up for a candidate. And when they show up for a candidate, this is where you start building your grassroots. This is where you plug them into the National Liberty Alliance. This is where you plug them into the Constitution Party and the Republican Party. Plug them into all the conservative parties and say, don't join anyone except for the one that you believe is supporting the Constitution the most. Wow, that create a competitive environment for the party. Huh? Wow, isn't that interesting? Actually make the parties compete. Now, I have told, and I put it right in their face, slapped them in the face with the Constitution Party. You guys should be on the moral high ground, period. You guys should be looking down upon all the rest of the parties and saying, you only aspire to be as constitutional as us. I don't understand why the Constitution Party isn't in a better position or in better space at this point in time. Because they should be commanding big time, you know, how, what, why, anyway. Anyway, so what we also need to do is we also need to start looking at the battlefields in a true tactical, strategic type of way. So we have the local battlefields, and there are strategic interests in these local battlefields. We need to get a constitutional county. That is the number one strategic interest that has to be obtained. That's the first milestone. It doesn't matter if you get and forgive me, John, anybody, or as a matter of fact, I had this conversation with Taylor Haynes. He was running for governor, and he basically felt that the governor's position, he could do anything and everything. And I get that feeling, and I don't know yet. I haven't had the conversation with John Gentry, but I get the feeling that John Gentry kind of feels like the executive is the all-powerful. No, the power is vested in the state legislature. They are the sovereigns. We've got to get that power back. We actually have to get the governor to wash their hands of using the bureaucracies that have been unconstitutionally created and get back to the state legislatures actually doing their doggone job and forcing them to do their job, removing them if they fail to do their job. Because the governor does have the obligation of executing the Constitution and the laws of the land. And so he actually can, as like the top cop or top law enforcement guy, he can actually start getting rid of politicians, doesn't matter what their party is. Every Democrat would be removed because they're all communists and they're all failing to support the Constitution. Do you realize if we started applying Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, every Democrat would be removed from office today, like that, in every state house and in Congress, period. Or at least as we start removing them, then all of a sudden they'll be on their knees begging forgiveness to say, oh, you know what? I didn't know I had to support the Constitution. Oh, I remember I took this oath, but I didn't think you're going to hold me to it. Nobody's ever been held to it. That's how far we've gotten beyond, you know, these mores that have held this society together for a couple hundred years. So we need to start understanding the levels of the battlefield, and the county is the most critical and most important, because once we have a constitutional counties in the state, then we can actually lasso and control and take back the state. Now, if we happen to get a governor that actually becomes a constitutional governor, wants to move that count, that state into becoming a constitutional state, then he needs to actually support and go in and pull back all of these state regulations, bureaucracies, and so forth, shutting them down and basically going out to the counties and saying, this is what you need to do. Basically, as I have told you, what I would have done had I been Trump, going out to every state, telling them that I can't do this, you have to do this, and getting the counties to do this at the state level. If you get the governor getting the governor out there so that the governor is actually championing these counties to do their goddamn doggone job, excuse me, and that really threw me off. We're going into a promo. We'll be right back. Thank you so much.
set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so it looks like I fumbled what was possibly going to be an expletive as I was getting excited. Ever since I started taking some of this medication, I kind of told everybody leading into the summertime in May that I'd be taking some aggressive medication to hopefully turn my health around. And so one of the things that it has done, it has almost given me Tourette's syndrome, to where the quickness of my what I'm going to say doesn't necessarily hit the cognitive filters. And so I actually have had one point in time since I started this medication where I was talking to my beautiful bride about something. And I just, you know, it was like I was back in the Marine Corps 40 years ago, and it was just rolled off my tongue. And I said, you know, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I did that. And so anyway, forgive me. If I fumble again, it is really because I'm not necessarily in full control, because medications are making me, you know, get all up hyped or what have you. But back to what I'm saying. There are different strategic levels. The least important level at this point in this warfare is the federal level. We don't even have to engage the federal level. We don't even have to have conversations with the federal level. The only way a state really starts getting engaged with the federal level in their state is once they've actually committed to Republic Review and gets enough states to commit to Republic Review. Because bottom line, you don't go over and you don't kick that big dog that can just devour you unless you have some level of constraints, like a chain that, you know, you're outside that range of the chain for that dog to basically descend upon you with its wrath and fury. And what I mean by that is you don't start kicking out agencies, you don't start forcing the Constitution until you have enough firepower on your side to basically keep that federal dog from getting out of control. And that what I believe that real level is 13. Because once we hit 13 states with Republic Review, then we have a firewall that keeps them from being able to constitutionally change anything in the Constitution. In other words, granting them the power for the Health and Human Services, CDC, or any of these types of things. You get 13 states to say, sorry, we never delegated these powers for this, 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 and this. And I'm telling you, as soon as you have 13, we're going to be clipping in new states. They're going to be coming on board with this because they're going to go, I can't believe this. Everybody will already be past all of the old questions. Oh, what about the federal money? What about the federal strings? What about the debt? All of those things will be completely washed away. They'll be transparent. Because at that point, people will completely understand that all of this stuff is unconstitutional. That the states have the opportunity and have the authority to wipe the slate clean, to blow this house of cards down. And as soon as we have 13 states and new states are coming on board learning about being able to blow the house of cards down and wiping the slate clean and sending a message to the world, I held back the expletive. To heck with you. To heck with this debt that you've tried to straddle us with to destroy us. They've been executing an economic war against the United States by allowing and continually piling on more and more debt to us, getting those people who are violating their oath of office to assume this debt, to allow all of these things to happen. I'm telling you, my friends, once people realize that we have the opportunity. And, you know, one of the things that we really need to be prepared to do is we need to be prepared to go to war against China. I've been telling you this. I've stated this since long before I started on Red State Talk Radio. They have been hostile. They have been belligerent. And they have an end goal of dominating the world along with Russia. Everybody, every communist state wants to be the foundation of the global governance. And I am here to tell you that the United States has the key. And so we need to be prepared to actually start sending ICBMs. We need to have such a good, strong network defense of keeping any types of, you know, missiles from hitting us like what Trump was doing. And having a good STDI or, you know, strategic Star Wars defense type of system, if we have something like that that can knock any type of plane or knock any projectile that's headed towards any of our interests, then there's really nothing they can do. We can literally just basically launch and hit them and knock them. They can't bring the war to us. Even their Navy can't come to us. And so we basically have the opportunity to actually not only defend ourselves, but defend liberty throughout the world. Now, the Rands, the Pauls and many other people think that, you know, we have this obligation to be, non-interventionist. We have an obligation to proclaim liberty to the world, and we need to start letting everybody know that if you want to become a state in the United States, we're shutting down the UN. It's gone. If you want to be a state in the United States, you need to apply, and we will work in creating you as a territory and migrating you into the United States. And we have a great strategy of how to do this so that it doesn't happen in a day, so that these nations that come into the United States, they speak English, they have our legal system, they have our currency and everything else, and then they become a full partaker in individual liberty and individual sovereignty and their own state destiny. That's right. And so as we start looking at the different battlefields, though, because I went off course a little bit here, we've got the national level, which the national level, like I said, until we have 13 states, we don't have to worry about that. Our big focus is the state, and the way we get the state back is through the counties. We have to start going through each county. You know, I've seen all sorts of sheriffs that have made all these proclamations, and these counties in Nevada said, oh, we're constitutional. We're supporting Sheriff Mack and his great organization. That's lipstick on a pig, as far as I'm concerned. That's nothing What you have to do is you actually have to have a sheriff start issuing bench warrants for the arrest of every person who's violating the Constitution within that state. Now you've got something going, because now you have somebody standing up and saying, we're going to enforce the Constitution, we will prosecute you, and we will remove you from office. At least any of your jurisdiction and power as governor will no longer exist in this county. Because you do not, because the sheriff's jurisdiction is limited to his county. But when you start having half the counties in your state, because look at every state, look at New York, look at all these different states, and you will find that the counties make up half, red counties make up over half of each state. This is why the Supreme Court in Reynolds v. Sims deliberately marginalized the counties to get them to believe that they were nothing. But actually, they are the sub-element of government of the county. They are the next level down. And when you have over 50% of the counties in that state saying that you must comply to the Constitution, then you now have a real constitutional war going on. And those counties will win. Because when it comes down to how it was delineated, how it was defined, it is not by the apportionment of people and the counting of the people, smearing it across into a democratic form. It is a Republican form of government. And so this is why codifying, I'm going right back to not codifying, canonizing. The word is canonizing that I mean to be using with the Constitution. What we need to do is literally define and dispel exactly what everything means and dispel any interpretations from the courts and everybody else. So what we have to do is we actually have to start working on strategies, both tactical and strategic strategies of doing this. This is why getting involved with the right organizations, the National Liberty Alliance, and when you get involved and they say, hey, you know, what are you doing? What do you want to do? Well, I've been listening to GR, and I want to start making our county a constitutional county. Some people are using the terms committees of safety. Committees of safety were really done away with when we created our constitutional counties. In the constitutional framework, the committees of safety became state legislators, and they were representing the counties from both the people as well as the county itself. So the committees of safety, which is the origins and the term, is predates the Constitution. Don't worry about those types of words or what those things mean. What we want you to understand are constitutional counties. So there may be some arguments you may have with some people that are holding and clinging on to some old paradigms. But that's because it's just like the concept of having the people call for a common law grand jury. Yeah, we could call for a common law grand jury prior to the U.S. Constitution. And prior to actually the Revolutionary War, once we declared independence and became a Republican form of government, I'm sorry, our ability to create mob rule went away. We formally became a representative rule of law government where the people had to relinquish those types of powers. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic. And we need your help. And we are diving into the resolutions in our next episode. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.